Mike,
go. Just go. Go.
No, but
go.
But you won't believe what I'm drinking.
What is it?
It's Margaritaville Paradise Key Iced Tea, Tropical Black Tea.
Why would I not believe that? Why would I assume that you would lie to me?
Because it's new.
What do you... I don't... Okay. I still believe you.
Okay.
All right. What the hell, Dave? I want to finish this before midnight so I can eat another corned beef sandwich. Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 18th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hi.
And, welcome to the show.
Yes.
We've got a great show, I'm sure. We're going to start off with the news, go on to Let's Go Topical, get into the week in gaming, what we've been playing, that kind of thing. Mostly Dragon Age 2, I'm sure. Then we'll go on to the new releases, and that'll be the show. So, let's get going. What's the news?
Okay, I'm dipping back, because we didn't really do a news segment with last week's PAX show.
We're not too old.
No, I'm just doing the relevant cool things that I like from the older stuff. The first one, which I think is nice, is that they've confirmed the Master Quest will be an Ocarina of Time 3D for the 3DS.
You know, that's cool. Yes. I mean, I'll see why they wouldn't have.
Right. But, you know, it hadn't occurred to me. I saw the headline. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I say I don't know why they wouldn't have, but still wouldn't have surprised me if they didn't. So.
Right.
Still nice it's there.
Mm-hmm. There was an Uncharted 3 trailer. Did you watch it? Because I didn't.
No, I'm not watching any more of this stuff.
All right,
then. They had me at 3. They had me at Uncharted.
We didn't talk about it, but we did get to see at PAX the, like just uncut, like recording session of Nolan North and the guys, the voice of Sully, just, like, riffing lines.
It's funny, because, like, they're doing the thing where they, like, just... They do the lines while you play through the level, like, those lines, and, like, sometimes it improv stuff, and the best would be there were bugs, and they would, like, talk about the bugs in character.
Yeah, like, Sully starts floating. He's like, Sully, how are you doing that?
He's like, I don't know, kid. It's like... Because he's not just floating, it's like... It's like the character model is in, like, that sort of, like... The base pose, you know, with the arms out.
Yeah.
It's floating there. It just kind of skyrockets up to the sky.
Like to get into the spot he's supposed to be in.
Right. That's pretty funny.
Yes.
Other than that panel was kind of boring, though, man.
It was dry.
It was very dry.
But we got t-shirts and
Uncharted 3 DLC. At the end, so, you know, whatever. Next.
The rumors were true. PS3 now has cloud-based storage for its PlayStation Plus subscribers.
Nice if you have a PlayStation Plus subscription.
Yep. You can save up to 1,000 game saves with a limit of 150 megabytes of data.
That's all you can save, though, right?
Yeah, but it does sound like... Remember that whole issue I've had with Killzone 2, my save file stuck in your PS3? It sounds like that stuff can go.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so if I pay $50, I can finish Killzone 2.
Hooray for
hey!
You.
Microsoft has sold 10 million Kinects so far. It is a Guinness World Record for the fastest-selling consumer electronic device of all time.
In general?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it has certainly some advantages in that it's not a new system, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's a peripheral, so it's cheaper than a system would be.
Yeah.
And it also did a lot of business, a lot of selling systems.
Pactor came out and said that it was outselling the Move, like, 5-1.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I mean, none of that is surprising, right?
Right, right.
The Kinect being a big success and outdoing the Move. Not, you know, it doesn't shock me.
Yes. Let's see. Where'd I go? Kaz Hirai got a promotion.
Oh?
Yeah.
Isn't he already in charge of PlayStation? Does he, like, have a bigger position in Sony in general?
Let's see. He is the executive deputy president, heading up Sony's consumer products unit.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, is he, like, next in line to be CEO of the whole company?
Pretty much.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, good for him. Did you see that... The demo for Final Fantasy Dissidia Duo Decimum, which is called Prologus, not Prologue, that's a word, Prologus, is going to be $3. Well, it is $3. It came out Tuesday, rather.
Somebody said it took him 18 hours to play through the quote-unquote demo.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
And if it says Prologus, I assume that it's content that's not in the main game. Right? Like, it's a prologue.
That I'm actually not 100% on.
I mean, I assume, I'm just saying, if you call it prologue, I don't know. I don't have that big a problem, though, if it's that long and if
it's original content. Yeah, I didn't know it was 8 to 10. That's something, at least.
That's what somebody... I can't even remember who said it. I saw someone say that on my Twitter, though. So, you know. Whatever. What did you say? $2, $3? Eh, whatever.
Yeah. Do you see the Dragon Age 2 glitch that just lets you generate unlimited XP?
No. There's always seems to be one of those, though.
Yeah.
What's it this time?
There's a video. I didn't actually watch the video, but...
Oh, so this isn't news. You're just having a casual conversation with
me about it. Well, it is news. This is in my list here.
Well, you think you would have researched this said news so that we could know what the glitch
was. I just
want to
see if you knew about it. I don't want to reveal the glitch. It's glitchy.
But I'm not going to use it. Oh, my God. Whatever. Fine. Let's move on from this terrible story.
It's just a video. I think you just go stand somewhere. So, somebody cracked the code of the random character strings for Microsoft Point cards.
And this is so long ago.
This is how long it's been since we did a proper podcast.
I know, but I'm saying it's not. Oh, it's not relevant. He didn't care. Go ahead, though.
Well, yeah, but the newer part is that they're looking into what kind of punishment to leverage on those who use said codes, because they can't tell.
They can't give them any punishment. It's not their fault.
Sure it is. They're the ones generating the codes and using them.
No, I thought the people generated the codes and gave them out as, like, to get to do their survey.
Well, it was like...
Yeah.
No, I mean, some people, though, like, were generating the code and then just giving themselves, like, thousands of Microsoft points.
Okay, but the main story was that people were generating the codes and then giving them away, I thought, to do a survey. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I don't know. Punish them, whatever. I don't care. Just take away their codes, right? Take away any content they bought with it. Is that hard?
Yeah, they're probably doing that, but there might be either suspensions at least, bans at worst.
Oh, whatever.
Something tells me, like, if you just use, like, one code, be like, hey, don't do that again. But if you did, like, redeem, like, thousands of points.
Yeah, I mean, well, if somebody bought 1,000 points worth of anything on Xbox Live, that should be a red flag right there. Like, I feel like they have something that says, hey, someone sure is buying a lot of Microsoft points. What would you even do with 1,000 Microsoft points?
I don't know.
I'm going to buy every Xbox Live arcade game.
Yeah, well, then you get, like, the games on demand. They're, like, $30 each, so...
whatever. I guess thousands of Microsoft points is as much as I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm thinking... Microsoft
tens
so
of
weird.
Thousands.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands, really, is more what I was
but
thinking.
But, my
when
lord,
I heard that.
There is no such army.
I wish I could follow that up with the next line. That was the best line. Okay, move ahead.
Batman Arkham City. It's coming October 18th.
Very nice. And you better come out before Uncharted 3.
And we found out that the Riddler is playing a much more prominent role this time around.
He seems like a bigger role, but not necessarily in terms of the story.
Yeah, I mean...
He's still the master of ceremonies for the side quests.
Yeah, but, like, he's, like, more there, I guess. They showed what he looks like. He does look cool.
He's actually a character model for him this time, so...
They say, like, it seems like there is a trailer that is not going to be released for 2 weeks, but all the press saw it already, so they, like, described it in great detail.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, he's basically like Jigsaw from the Saw movies.
Like, that's not a riddle at all.
Well, no, but it's like, if you don't solve his riddle, someone gets killed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like it.
So it kind of ups the stakes.
Before this comes out, I'm going to have to go back and finally beat Arkham Asylum.
You never finished it?
No, I
didn't. I didn't know that. Oh, you should totally finish it. It's great.
Well, I mean, yeah. No kidding. I know. I'll get to it.
Are you excited to play Free Realms on your PS3?
No.
Well, you can on March 29th, so...
That's fantastic news. I don't care. Who's still playing DC Universe Online on their PS3?
I don't know.
Chris ain't. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Did he actually cancel his account?
I don't know.
Probably not.
That's how they get you. That's why... But, like, I did, too. I would always buy the new MMO, and then, like... Stop playing MMOs. I'm not buying any more MMOs. Maybe Old Republic, and that's it.
Yeah.
Look, unless your MMO is huge, who can afford to take a risk on it anymore?
Well, yeah, because it's like, you might buy this game for $50, and then if you only kind of like it, you're done. You're not going to continue paying $15 a month for something you kind of like. You have to love it.
It's just so... Like, I heard that they announced they're going to make a Transformers MMO.
Seriously?
Like, oh, great. Well, have fun wasting your money. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, would you like to play a new Tribes?
Yes,
okay.
I guess.
They announced Tribes Ascend at PAX for the PC and 360.
So, what do we... Is this going to be a full retail game, or...?
It's not clear. I'm sorry. It's a digital download. So, yeah, I guess it is like an XBLA-ish type.
Now, who's making this, exactly?
They are called...
High Res. They're the guys who make Global Agenda.
Okay. I mean, I like Tribes. I just, you know, sometimes you wonder if you can go home again in a weird sort of way.
Right.
We are long removed from the glory days of Tribes.
Although, I did tell you, I found that iPad game that guy was playing on iPad, so I did find out what it was. Tycho was talking about it. Tiny Wings. It's basically like Tycho said, it's Tribes without the guns. Like, you're just this bird who can't really fly, so you're skiing along these slopes and launching yourself. And it's the same thing as Tribes. Like, you kind of feather your jump, so to speak, as you go down these hills and launch yourself off. It's awesome.
Right. I mean, I would be all about new Tribes, you know, the vehicles and the jetpacks and all that stuff. Be great, I guess. Although, I feel like Halo was in a position to be more like Tribes, and they chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they almost de-emphasized vehicles a bit after Halo 1, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I could have sworn there were more vehicles in the original Halo.
Yeah.
I mean, not, like, more types, but they were in, like, all the levels and stuff.
Right, right.
Also, just in general, like, you know, Halo 1, when everyone did LAN parties, they did Blood Gulch, Capture the Flag. Nowadays, it's always just Team Deathmatch, Team Deathmatch, Team Deathmatch. Next.
Let's see. Okay, so we have to get to the sad part of news. Everyone's aware of all the tragedy going on in Japan with the earthquake and the tsunami. In our little neck of the news sphere, it did cause some games to get delayed and outright canceled. The game that got canceled was Disaster Report 4, which is basically a game about a giant earthquake hitting Japan.
I am holding my tongue.
Yeah, that's gone. Yes. MotorStorm 3 Apocalypse and Yakuza of the End have been delayed.
Is that the zombie Yakuza?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it depicted, like, a apocalyptically ruined Tokyo.
Why do you bring that up for? You find some irony in that?
No, I'm just saying that's why they delayed it.
Oh, I thought... See, when you say delayed, I thought you meant because, like, literally... Like,
no,
resources were hurt.
No, these have been delayed or canceled because of taste.
Okay.
Like it's just too soon.
Sense.
Yeah, the same thing with MotorStorm, because it's like, you know, a city blowing up.
It is MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Right.
Jeez.
MotorStorm 3 was actually also delayed, like, in Europe, New Zealand. The demo was supposed to come out, but that was also delayed in America. No word if the American demo delay has to do with this, or what's this release date in America for the full game like. They still haven't really clarified that yet. But yeah, that's what's going on with that. I know, too, like, let's not make a joke about it, I guess, but they had to take down a lot of servers to conserve power for the country, which includes the Final Fantasy 11 and 14 servers. As such, they announced the Final Fantasy 14 and 11 subscribers won't have to pay for the month of March or April.
I hope you understand that, like, the great restraint I am showing to not make a Final Fantasy 14 joke.
Yeah, me too. Although, a legit question, have they been charging Final Fantasy 14 players yet?
I thought they hadn't yet.
Okay, so that's what I mean,
I don't know, though. I mean, that was the last we ever heard about Final Fantasy 14 in general was, we're not going to charge again now. But that was a while ago.
Right.
When did 4? I mean, it came out last year, so I don't know.
All right, well, let's move on.
Yeah, so let's
and
move
also,
on.
A quick aside, you know, we hope, you know, our thoughts and everything with everyone in Japan.
There's a lot of great gamer charities going on.
Yeah, there are.
That.
So, you know, go support all that stuff. It's good stuff. And, of course, I don't have the exact numbers, but you can just send a text message to the Red Cross and they'll donate $10. Everyone should at least do that, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yes. All right. Let's go back to video games. Bethesda has confirmed Prey 2.
I don't know why it's funny to me.
I don't either, but it is now. Developed by Human Head Studios, the game will give gamers, quote, the opportunity to explore a new facet of the Prey universe, one that offers fast-paced action in an open alien world.
It's open world now. So they're going like that crappy Wolfenstein game no one liked. Prey? Do you remember Prey?
Oh my god.
It was like people... Oh, the only reason Prey 1 had any chance was because it came out in the first year of the 360. Mm-hmm.
Look, this game has portals. Look, this game's called Portal.
Ooh. Oh, my God, Prey. Oh, Prey. Okay, I got let's move on.
Let's see. PAX East Prey 2011's attendance topped out at 69,500.
That seems like a lot of people. I didn't see that many people there.
I don't
guess
know if that's cumulative, like each day adds up to that much. The PAX East last year had 52,290.
Jeez.
This is the biggest PAX now, even bigger than the one in Seattle, and in fact is the biggest public gaming convention in North America.
Wow. I mean, it was the convention center was huge.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous just how bigger the convention was in general. Because I never went to a PAX Prime.
The only thing is, when you had to get to somewhere the other side, it kind of sucked. You're like,
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hall.
Well, because I've never been to PAX Prime, so we went to the first PAX East. I assumed that's how big PAX was. It seemed pretty big.
Yeah.
The floor seemed pretty big. The show floor, not only in terms of size, but, so many more AAA games.
Yeah.
It was basically E3 almost.
Yeah, now, can you imagine the first PAX in 2004 had 3,000 people.
What'd they even do?
Well, I mean, the expo floor was practically nothing. Because, it wasn't big enough yet to merit it. So it was just kind of picture everything but the expo floor.
Right. That's crazy to me.
I know.
It does very well for them.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a lot. There's got to be some money coming.
One cool thing
that
we learned at the first Q&A... somebody asked Gabe and Tycho how much PAX cost, and they didn't know, so they sent a text message to Robert Koo, who just later texted back. He wouldn't give the exact number, but he said it's 8 figures. And Mike and Jerry just looked at each other like, what?
Oh, jeez. Well, now, wait a second. If it's 8 figures, there was, 70,000 people about. That times 50. Are they making their money even back? I don't...
Well, I'm sure the vendors pay to be there and advertising.
Still, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I'm no businessman. I'm sure there's a lot of money being made.
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't do it if there wasn't, obviously. But
sure.
Now you got me wondering, what is 70,000 times 50?
Oh, my gosh. It's not 8 figures. That's my point. Don't worry. It's like... I'm not going to embarrass myself with the math right now. Let's move on. Stop trying to do it in your head. Just move on.
It's 3.5 million.
That's great.
Okay. I got confused. Where did I go?
Clearly.
Oh yeah, the NPD. They're in a weird place right now. EA basically came out last week and was like, "Yeah, the NPD's getting kind of pointless because they don't report on digital sales."
Well, okay. To be fair though, maybe sour grapes. What was EA's highest ranked game that month?
I don't know.
Probably, yeah. Would they have said something if
yeah,
they had something? Yeah.
Anyway, though, the NPD has vowed to start covering digital sales, something that they actually said they're working on in October. I don't know how that's going to work, because, I mean, most of that is Valve, and they don't give their numbers out.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
I mean, it still has value. It's still... obviously shows a trend.
It's a barometer, but I hate the way now how it's like all SKUs are combined into one thing. So, of course Call of Duty is always number one. It's out on like 6 different systems.
But see, if you think of it as a contest and you think, oh, it's not fair because Call of Duty is number one, then okay, maybe it's not fair. But if it is what it is and, what it should be, it's just an analyst tool to see what's really selling
the best. That's what it is, but it's not
their
fault
that people turn it into a contest.
I understand, but by that same token, Metacritic's just there for users to get an aggregate review score, but Metacritic also decides if people get their bonus or if they even get to keep a job.
Okay, we're going to talk about Metacritic later, actually. Teasers. But yeah, I know. I don't disvalue the NPDs.
I know. I don't know.
There's something to learn from them, for sure. And no one else is doing it, so...
Yeah, I just feel, though, that it is true, though. They do need to start getting better reporting on that kind of stuff.
Well, like you said, Steam won't give out their numbers. What are they going to do?
I don't know. Just work something out with Steam, maybe.
Oh, okay. I'll see why not.
Right.
But then there's a lot of just digital distribution sites. You got to get all of them on board. It's weird.
It's no different than all the retailers before.
I guess, but I'm sure there's a system set in place because retail has been around a long time.
Yeah. And the other thing people seem to often forget, too, is NPD also does not take Walmart into account. They do not get Walmart's numbers.
Sure. But like I said, it's just if you get enough – I mean, it's like TV ratings.
Mm-hmm.
TV ratings do not take into account every house in America, but people live and die by that.
They don't take into account households with more than 2 televisions.
Exactly. So NPDs are probably, if anything – more indicative of what's going on with video game sales than the Nielsen ratings are with TV watching and what all that. It's just about a trend. Just get a pool size. And I guess, you know, the problem with that is that people say, oh, well, now we know this game sold this many. Well, maybe it sold more than that.
Hmm.
Do I win the argument?
Yes.
That was a good point, I thought.
Yes, good job.
Next. I owe it all to you, Miller Lite.
Did you know that horse armor is still selling?
Apparently. Well, I know this because I read the story.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up, because weren't we talking about it the other day?
Yeah, well, because we were listening to that Best of One Up.
Oh, that's right. That was great.
I'll tell you what was funny. I didn't even realize this, but I guess it was either last or the year before April Fool's, Bethesda, like, you know, did half off on all DLC for Oblivion, except for Horse Armor, which was twice as much.
Yeah, I told you about this.
I did not know about that. That's pretty funny.
And it sold a lot.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
All right, my final story. This weekend is a little PSA.
Schmauza!
Monday Night Combat on Steam is having a free-to-play weekend, and it'll be on
sale for
10 bucks.
How dare you just ignore me when I say nonsense?
I got used to it.
Well, I was told to say this by Matt... Okay. Matt, why is your last name? Okay, help me out here. Matt G-I-G-U-E-R-E. Matt Gigori? Gigori?
Sure.
Anyways, Matt Gigori wanted me to say schmauza, so there it is.
All right.
See, this is the Exploding Barrel Podcast 2.0. We're interactive and shit.
Yes.
We're on Facebook now. That was just some mind-blowing stuff right there. That's cutting edge.
So, did you notice just that our PAX episode was episode 175?
No.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, that's a lot of numbers, I guess. Jesus, we're getting close to 200 now. I didn't even think about that before. But there we go. Anyways, what was your story? Something about Monday Night Combat's free-to-play for a little bit? Cool.
Yeah, it's free-to-play this week on Steam. It's on sale for 10 bucks. I might be purchasing that.
Why not?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. You have to tell me when you're done.
Well, I said this is my last story before, but you weren't listening.
I was clearly not listening before.
You were on Facebook.
Even still. Yes, I'm on Facebook. I'm interacting with our fans. 1 second. Done. All right. Money Matt Gaguerre, we know that the magic has happened.
Oh, that is some Web 2.0 shit right there.
Speaking of Web 2.0 shit, we have user-submitted topics for Let's Go Topical.
Should we call it Let's Go Topical 2.0?
Indeed, we shall.
Oh, man. I love
Let's go 2.0.
No.
How about that? Let's get rid of that topical. Doesn't even make sense anymore. Let's go topical didn't even make sense.
Well, at least had some sense.
How about topical 2.0?
No, Let's Go Topical 2.0.
Fine. All right, listen. First one's from our good friend Pete Davidson. He wanted to talk about Metacritic. I actually phrased it into a statement for him. Metacritic shouldn't have the effect on game sales that it does. Now, this is all coming because there's a big stink with Homefront. Homefront got not terrible reviews, but it's like a 7.
Well, here's the thing that happened. Before the game came out and the embargo was officially up, the Metacritic score was sky high. And then the game came out, the embargoes were gone, and then the Metacritic score fell from, like, 9 to 7.
Which meant,
like, all the unembargoed reviews were, like, 5s.
Well, that's the whole issue of, like, the shady exclusive deals that go down all the time.
Right, but
we'll give you an exclusive, and you can do your review early, but only if you give the game a 9.
Yeah, but then that thing is, for the person who's like, oh, this game comes out tomorrow, I'm going to go check the Metacritic. Oh my god, it's got like a 9.5 on Metacritic. It's got to be sweet. I'm going to go buy it tomorrow. Like, that's part of the danger of Metacritic right there,
I would criticize that person's poor shopping habits.
Well, yeah.
That's not good research. He learned his lesson.
But to them, I mean, this is Metacritic.com. It's the industry standard. It aggregates all the review scores that are out there.
Then like he could have clicked one more link and saw that there were only 2 reviews.
Yeah,
or
but
3 reviews.
Maybe they're like they don't.
And
know
from
that.
Unknown shit sites.
I don't know. I see the thing is I don't use Metacritic at all.
See, I mean, I look, I do.
Of course. And did you see the other Metacritic scandal this week?
Well, I'm not going to talk about THQ.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Well, because the big thing here is that their stock dropped drastically because the score was so low, then they thought, oh, well, sales aren't going to be that good. And then later on, they said sales were fine anyways.
Right.
Just, but, you know, you never ask them the main question, should Metacritic have the effect on game sales that it does?
On sales of a game itself, that's hard to say. Because, like I said, it is seen as this tool
that is there to simplify your search for reviews on a game.
See, to me, it's not even a tool. It should be a curiosity,
yeah,
if anything.
I mean, yeah, I understand that. But, you know, in this fast-paced digital world that we're in, if you tell somebody, here's a list of 10 websites, go to each one, or here's one website that's just going to list everything, which one are they going to pick?
Oh, sure. And it's not entirely fair.
Right,
we agree.
Here's where it should absolutely not, under any circumstance, be used to decide stock price, employee bonuses, employee jobs. Because that's just ridiculous. It's idiotic.
Sure, but to play devil's advocate a little bit, the top rated games right now, Mass Effect 2, Little Big Planet 2, Dead Space 2, MLB 11 The Show, something called Bug Heroes. Okay, that one, that's an iOS game. But these are, you know, they're not like they're not good games. The system may not be broken necessarily. It's a conundrum of sorts.
Yeah.
I
feel like it does eventually level itself out after a game's been out for a while. But like, you get in that situation with Homefront where like it was like the unembargoed reviews coming in, screwing everything up, everything's getting skewed one way or the other. That's when it's dangerous.
One of my bigger problems really is just that 71, which is the Metacritic score for Homefront, that's not that bad. We shouldn't all sell our stock in the company because they had a game that got a 71.
Right.
I understand they were. I think the problem is that they were positioning this as a big deal. You should have seen at E3 how much advertising and the booth presence this game had.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the hell is Homefront? So they obviously were banking on this a little bit. And, you know, maybe that didn't pan off for them. And, you know, the criticisms I heard of the game are just that the single player is kind of really short and not well-developed.
Well, yeah, like, to go down that rabbit hole real quick, like, the response I saw from the company was, like, you know, to the five-hour length, they're like, well, you know, like, yeah, we could have focused on making a single-player game and it would have been 20 hours, but, you know, we put a lot of work in the multiplayer, too, more so than the single-player. And I'm sitting here, I don't think I've heard a single thing about this game's multiplayer.
See, that's the thing. Apparently, that's the good thing. But that was never their media focus.
No, it was always about the story.
Maybe they don't. Maybe THQ is to blame here, certainly. Maybe even more so than Metacritic, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
that's the case, that this game's supposed to have amazing multiplayer, I had no clue.
Right. And then again, what are these people trying to do that? Like, oh, we're going to compete with Call of Duty. No, you're not. You're not. I'm sorry. Okay, next.
Wait, but to stay on Metacritic, so did you see the other thing, too, that came out this week? Apparently, God forbid, it was found out that a BioWare employee gave the game a user review of a 10.
Right. I mean, it's kind of lame of him. I wouldn't call it a controversy.
Yeah. But, well, and of course, like, this is in response to people going on to Metacritic and, like, you know, the typical internet trolls give the game a 0 and then, like, just wretched grammar be like, EA sold the souls of babies to make this crap with, like, 2 P's, and you're like, what?
Sure. I mean, and it must be frustrating as a developer, but you still have to try with all your might to stay above that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't condemn him. I don't really care. So,
well,
did you see,
EA's response is kind of cute, actually. I liked it. I don't have it in front of me. But
they basically said, well, of course he likes his game. Yeah, they downplayed
it. You know, at the Oscars, you could vote for yourself.
Well, okay, Barack but this Obama, isn't the Oscars, clearly.
Barack Obama voted for himself for president.
Okay. This is different. This is a user score. It's not a democracy.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a voting. Like I said, I'm not mad or anything, but still kind of lame. Okay, from Drew Robbins. Peter Vesterbacka. Am I saying that right? The CEO of Rovio?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, the Angry Birds guys. Claims that consoles are dying. You agree with him?
No. God, no.
They're dead, AJ. Look, Angry Birds is here, okay? And that's our future.
You know what I think is dying, if anything? It's the B-level console game.
Well, that's been dying, and he's right there, I guess.
Like, it was kind of put on life support because you have XBLA games coming out, so, like, you know, companies who didn't make these B-level games can now go to XBLA with a smaller scope, smaller budget, and be able to make games there. You still have your AAAs and your Call of Duties, your Halos, all that stuff. And I think even the shift to iOS has really helped, like, it transformed that Xbox Live Arcade game from bottom to the new middle. And then iOS is now, like, not bottom's a bad word, but, the smaller scale, smaller budget. Which now left that, like, B game from before, like, this weird nebulous, like, 1.5 spot that now doesn't make any sense.
when I hear begin, though, I still have a hard time defining that in my head. Like, what do you mean? Like, was
singularity.
Okay, singularity. Like, was Castlevania last year? Was that a B game?
No, I think that was an A-level game. See, I just feel like it came out at a bad time and got buried.
Right. It's like, what defines A-level? Production or sales?
A little of both.
See, it's kind of hard. Then it's easy to say, well, B-level games don't sell well if what defines an A-level game is sales. You know what I mean? You follow me there a little bit?
It's not a perfect analogy. I understand that.
No, I know. I know what you mean. But, I mean, look, this guy would have... This guy claims that consoles are dying because if they did die right now, he would take the credit for it.
Well, sure.
So it'd be a nice little trophy for
case. When you have games coming out this fall that include Uncharted, Batman, Skyrim, you know, another Call of Duty I'm sure is going to come out, you want to tell me that in 2 years no one's going to want to play that anymore, that we'd much rather shoot birds out of a catapult for hours after hours? That is not going to happen.
I still don't buy that something like Angry Birds is taking business away from...
No, it's complimenting it.
It's not complimenting. It's just they're finding their own audience.
Yeah, at $5, you're not taking business from anybody.
Right. Or
that's like $2. That's like, I don't know, the guy who makes like a hot sauce. But let's just say it's what's his name from King of Kong?
Oh, Billy Mitchell?
Yeah, because he makes hot sauce, so I'll use him as my example.
Why not?
Like, if he were to just come out and be like, ketchup is finished.
ketchup is totally done, guys. This hot sauce is
my sauce is so much better than that sauce. It's like, no, it's a completely different sauce, and you could even have them at the same time. It's okay. You could put ketchup and hot sauce on a burger. You know, I'm not going to be putting just hot sauce in my burgers.
I would have to imagine that the game industry is pretty healthy right now, consoles included.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I imagine that as far as a generation in its fifth year, we are doing probably better than consoles last year did
I really like the spot where the industry's in right now because, like I said, you have these big AAA games, and we're going to segue this probably into Jeff's topic here in a bit. You've got the XBLA stuff. You've got the iOS stuff. And I feel like for the first time now, too, indies are really able to find a true audience. Like, you know,
sure. Well, because they have the tools to reach the audience.
Yeah, between iOS games, guys making stuff that do get picked up by the publishers and put on XBLA. You look at something like Shank, Dishwasher, Limbo. I mean, games like that 5 years ago, it would have been a freeware title that you maybe downloaded on your computer.
Well, look at Castle Crashers. The precedent of Castle Crashers was Alien Hominid, right? Mm-hmm. Alien Hominid was a flash game on Newgrounds.
Right.
If they made any money off of that, it could not have been a whole lot.
Right.
Now, Castle Crashers probably made the millions.
Yeah.
It sold a lot. And it's basically the same kind of thing, it's just now they have a way to reach an audience and to make an audience.
I mean, look at the booth they had at PAX. That company is two guys.
Right. No, for sure. It's a whole new world as far as the ways. You know, and people always kind of make these dumb statements, these very extreme statements. And we're not going to sell physical copies of games anymore. Consoles are dying. No. All right. We all good with that? Consoles are, in fact, not dying. We put that rumor to rest.
Yeah. Good job.
All right. So, from Jeff Parsons. So, we got our wish and AAA games come out throughout the year. Are we happier? My answer, yes.
I agree.
Yes.
The only thing that kind of sucks is, like, I'm having a hard time keeping up with everything.
Well, sure. For sure. There still are, like, a few games from last year that I haven't played yet, but, I mean... I have no complaints whatsoever.
Right.
Is there any other downsides to it?
I mean, not really. I mean...
Maybe Jeff has something in mind. We should probably ask him.
More good games are not a bad thing.
Well, it's not even necessarily more good games. It's just more spread out.
Yeah, but I talked about this before, too. I think we're just going to have to start coming to that understanding now that the old definition of a gamer was you played every game. Regardless of genre and taste, you played every game. Like, you were not a gamer if you didn't like every game that came out.
Well, all genres used to have more in common than they do now.
Right. And it's getting to that point now where it's okay if you don't play every AAA release that comes out and like them.
Well, sure. I mean, I just think about there's a lot of people who play JRPGs almost exclusively, right?
Right.
That's a subset. And they can do that almost throughout the whole year. Throughout, you know, all the JRPGs that are released. You know, then there's people who just like shooters, and there are shooters released, you know, at least one good one every 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And then a bunch toward, you know, it's still a little heavy loaded towards the end of the year, but it's much better than years past. Okay, then. Next, this is all my doing now.
Okay.
Normal MMO fans will have little interest in the Old Republic's extensive story and voice acting.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. Here's my precedent for this. Playing Guild Wars, Guild Wars does have some cutscenes that come up, and they're really cool because kind of like, you know, they're like simpler precursors to the Old Republic, where it was your characters put in a cutscene, they did the talking, but like that was your character. To me, it was awesome. Loved it. But I would play in pickup groups, and that cutscene would come up, and my texting would start blowing up because they wouldn't skip the cutscene unless everyone skipped it. So if one person didn't push that skip button, it would play for everybody. And my thing would blow up. Oh, my God, skip it. Push skip. Push skip. I'm like, fuck you. I'm watching this. Mm-hmm. Like, I paid for this content. I want to see it. I'm interested to see what's going on. So unless you're playing with friends, it can be a problem. But even then, I think to, like, playing Gears of War co-op with PJ. And throughout all the cutscenes, he's on voice chat just yakking away like Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I kind of be like, shut up. I want to hear this.
Right. It's just when I think about raiding in World of Warcraft and how many – what they understand is when you do a five-man dungeon and you are a legit raider, you will run that five-man dungeon a lot. And you will – and if not only will you have no interest in it after the first time you play it – 1 second. You texted me. I can't access it. It's throwing me off.
You don't have to answer it right now. Just keep talking. Answer when you have time.
But I can't even access it. Oh, here it is. Do I have a cue for the audience?
Well, way to eliminate all transparency here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it weirded me out. I can't just ignore it. I was like, what is it? I have to know. Yes, this one can be it. How about that?
Okay, fine.
Actually, no, the next one will be.
Okay,
how about that?
Keep going.
What was I saying? Listen, when you raid a lot in MMOs, you do the same dungeon a lot, and you're not going to want to watch that cutscene every time. It's not going to have any value. And worse than that, it's not going to be very likely that you run a dungeon with a bunch of people who have never run it before. So there's always going to be one person be like, oh, skip this, I don't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the last game where it was a big deal, it was going to have, everything's going to be voice acted?
Yeah, EverQuest 2.
Yeah, EverQuest 2.
See, I mean, the other thing, too, is, and I mean, granted, you played it, so maybe you can speak to this, but
right.
You're assuming that the game structure is WoW in its dungeon and raiding content.
I am very much assuming that.
Yeah,
I've seen nothing to tell me it's not. Oh,
yeah,
no! I assume that all the way to the bank. I assume that. Don't you tell me that I'm assuming too much. I would bet money on it.
But do you really think the way this game's going that like there's going to be a very story heavy mission, like where you let's just say you save a hostage on a Sith ship who's like a Jedi ambassador. Do you honestly think the game's structured so that you keep running that over and over? Is it going to push you, like, good, you finished that, move to the next
game? Absolutely think you're going to run it over and over again. You have to.
Why?
Because if there's a piece of loot you want from that boss,
they're
going to demand to run it again.
What if it's just a story-based thing?
No one will run it. You don't understand. That's what I'm saying. You don't understand the motivations. All this stuff about story and stuff, that is lovely. That is great. AJ, I know these people. I have lived among them. They don't give a shit.
But maybe they're going after different audiences. They've often said...
This audience is not going to play this game for 200 hours.
But they've always said, think of this game as KOTOR 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
They are going to get eaten alive. They will not last. You not only do you want gear, you need gear. And there's no way. There's no way there's going to be only one-time dungeons. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying. Like, their message just doesn't... And it'd be one thing if I played the game and it didn't work like a WoW MMO. Then I would say, okay, I get it. But if you take all that away, it's WoW. It is. And there's nothing wrong with that it's a very pretty WoW and it's a Star Wars WoW. So cool. If you like Star Wars more than, you know, fantasy bullshit, whatever, then you could play this. But it's WoW. I was a Jedi and I had rage. I mean, I was a Sith and I had rage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Rage! I was a warrior! They couldn't even call it something else! And it was the same moves and everything. And I don't know if I'm concerned, and, you know, maybe it'll all work out. But they're going to have to make sacrifices for it to be an MMO in the game that I feel like BioWare is best at making. That's my two cents.
Right.
We'll see. Ahem. Okay. Yeah. Community topic. So we're going to post this on Facebook at the end. The US 3DS launch lineup is weak.
Yeah.
And if you had to pick one game, what would it be?
Street Fighter. I mean, actually, I forgot to tell you this. Best Buys actually have 3DS demos now.
Oh, cool.
Because I came back. I was like, I played the 3DS this weekend. Aren't you all jealous? I was like, dude, there's one over there. I was like, oh.
Hey. How about that?
It's got Pilot Wings in it. I played it. Honestly, I mean, you know, I played the demo of it at PAX. I was like, I'm going to fly around this rocket belt. Ah, this is nostalgic. But I'm sure there's more to it than this. No.
Well, there's a lot of point getting in Pilot. Are you just doing the free flying mode though, right? There's missions.
I took a look through the menu, the missions. Like, maybe this is still even a demo that's limited. But like, it's just plain hang glider and rocket belt. Like, where's the skydiving and all that stuff?
I'm sure skydiving and planes got to be in there.
It doesn't feel like a $40 game.
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean.
But, like, there's that Steel Diver. That's not a full game. That's, like, a flash game in 3D.
There's Nintendo Dogs and Cats.
That'll be good.
Interesting.
It's still not. Nintendo's not really releasing a game for this thing to launch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not like this is the big Nintendo game for the launch, which is kind of weird. Because you always have at least
something.
One of those. Because we had the Zelda game. Even GameCube had Luigi's Mansion, at least.
Right.
But, you know, the best at the original DS had was just Mario 64 DS, which was, I mean, I guess it was something at the time, but it wasn't great.
Shoot, I'd take, like, Mario 64 3D.
Well, I mean, yeah, for sure.
It's sweet. Anyway.
But I'd definitely take Street Fighter 4 from all these.
Oh, yeah, Street Fighter 4, that's the one game at PAX I didn't get to play, too.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I didn't really ask you this, but that analog nub thing is actually pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
It's
the same damn thing as the PSP's analog nub, but the difference is it's concave, not convex, so that when you move, your thumb doesn't fall off of it.
Right, I guess that is actually
it. Took a fucking design genius to figure that out.
Right. Well, that won't be a problem with the NGP either, so.
Right.
We moved past that.
Thank God.
I thought it was bumpy, so like, oh, your finger won't fall off because it's like rigid. No.
Yeah, now it just hurts.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's scratching my thumb. Ow.
But I mean, it is a little soft. I mean, good stuff's coming. Star Fox is going to be great. Kid Icarus was fun. Zelda, of course, will be great. It just would have been nice if one of those, like, you know, you think Star Fox, they could have gotten done in time for launch.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. Luckily, we're still playing Pokemon, really, so
yeah,
it's okay. Okay. This is the last one. Kind of will transition into our weekend gaming. Dragon Age is still not on Mass Effect's level.
It's not, and honestly, it's petty, but it's a graphical and presentation thing.
Right. It's weird.
If there is a Dragon Age 3, and I certainly hope there is,
I'm sure.
Ditch the Dragon Age engine, just put it in the Mass Effect engine. It looks a million times better. I mean, the game isn't a graphical improvement over Dragon Age, for sure. But I still don't even think it looks as good as Mass Effect 1.
No, it doesn't. Mass Effect is basically Unreal, right?
Yeah, it's Unreal tech, heavily modified.
Sure. But if you have that, and I understand that, like, by now you have all these assets made in the Dragon Age tech, and, you know, be kind of an inconvenience, but just, you know.
Yeah, bite the bullet. Do it.
Yeah. You know, I want that shit. I want it shined up. Well, how about outside of that? Anything else? Quarterback? Well, let's just talk about Dragon Age now, I guess.
Okay. Dragon Age.
Okay.
It's great.
Well,
I love it.
How far are you?
I am, not very. I only really got to play the last two nights here.
I'm about 13 hours into it.
I'm not even close. I think I'm about 5, 6 at maybe.
Okay. But, I mean, you're in Kirkwall.
Yeah, I'm in Kirkwall, which I understand is where you spend a lot of the game. Here's what I really like about this game, and strangely enough, it's what a lot of people hate about it. The story of the game, you're not saving the world. There's no great
evil. I was about to talk about this, and I am not on your side.
No. Oh.
There's no sense of... It's weird because... I'll say this. Within 2 hours of Dragon Age Origins, you know what's at stake, and you know what you have to do to save the world. The Blight is coming. Stop it. I am 15 hours into this game, and there's still no... There's no real... There's story, for sure, but there's no overarching story. It's like I'm doing... It's like I'm playing a bunch of side quests, and they forgot to put the main plot in so far.
Meh.
Like, I don't really know what... There's no real threat. Well, and I know I'm going to be a hero at some point because they keep referring to me as the champion.
The champion, yes.
I don't know what the hell I don't know what I'm going to be doing, though. It's this kind of storytelling 101 that your character must want something. And there are many objectives that your character wants and stuff like that. But you don't have that drive. And I know it's a cliche, like, oh, we're saving the world. But that's what you do.
Well, here, let me give you my side of it. Because to me, like, you know, the world of Ferelden and Kirkwall now and everything, it's been established. Like, I understand the world of Dragon Age thanks to the game and the book and everything like that. What this game is now giving me the chance to do is just be a character in that world and just kind of live in it.
Well, that's not a game,
and an exceptional character. I mean, you're not just some schlub.
That sounds almost like – that doesn't sound like a game to me, though.
To me, I just find it refreshing. I guess it's just so kind
of different. But see, it's not like you're not still fighting. There's still a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
It just feels like misdirected conflict. Silence, I got you.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know, it's just something about it. Because I feel like it allows me to focus more on the world itself, the relationship between the characters.
I mean, you still always had that. You can still always take your time.
Yeah,
but here's the thing.
What's one of the biggest gripes with games like Oblivion, Final Fantasy XII? It's that they always have this plot of OMG, the world's ending. Look,
okay,
there's
that
the boss standing
is
over there.
That criticism is always bullshit, and we know it.
Yeah, I know,
I don't
but it was always a criticism. This game sidesteps that.
But look, you don't. Do you doubt that your character is going to save the world at some point, though?
Yeah, but here's what I like is I imagine that when that comes up, it will feel more important and more
timely. I'm worried that they won't have enough time left in the game to build up to the moment as they should. Maybe. And, you know, I'm criticizing things I haven't even seen yet, but it's just weird because it doesn't even feel like I'm that far into the game, and then I look at my plate and I'm like, holy shit, I'm 15 hours in and nothing's happened.
I will say, I was a little initially disappointed, like, I guess this is mild, like, spoiler for the setup of the game. Basically, there's a part in the game where, I'll be vague here. Basically, you're going to be told that you have to do something for a year. And I'm thinking, all right,
yes,
here we go.
Exactly what you
Off
mean.
I go. I'm going to spend the next year in Kirkwall doing stuff. Fade to black, fade back up. Boy, can you believe it's been a year already? And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like you made an arbitrary choice. There seems to be... The story feels disjointed, not just because of this, but there are these kind of jumps in time, like long jumps in time. And I'm like, well, what has been going on?
I've tried to liken it to Grim Fandango in my head.
But Grim Fandango nailed that.
Yeah,
down.
I know. But, like, you know, I thought about it. I mean, it does at least give the excuse now why I'm walking around this, like, foreign city, but, like, everybody kind of knows who I am. You have a reputation. Like, that's cool.
One other thing is that, and we guess we know he wouldn't, but after playing Mass Effect 2 and how cool it was, how so much stuff from Mass Effect 1 tied in, there's not nearly as much stuff being played into here.
There's enough. It's enough to keep me satisfied.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard, like, it's cool when it happens, when you hear an awful comment
about... Did you properly import your save file?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, because I was going through the menu, like, blinking, you'd miss the option, honestly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you think they would kind of help you with that.
Yeah,
it is, like, hard to find. So I literally did find it by mistake. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
do that,
well,
then.
At first I thought I had it picked, because one of the defaults is very close to how I did play Dragon Age Origins.
Well, but the problem is I haven't heard anything that really reminds me of my game of Dragon Age. I hear stuff that just could be anyone. Like, I don't hear anything that says, remember the hero of Ferelden who was an elf from the Alien Age and then who died. That's, you know, those are the essential bits of my story, and I haven't heard any of that yet, I guess. And I hear the off, you know, like, oh, the hero of Ferelden stopped the Blight. That was nice of him. I guess it was nice of me. Thank you. I did do that. You're welcome. But, you know, that's all negative stuff. The combat is not the issue I thought it would be. It's basically the same thing, but it's just button mashy.
Yeah, no, I've
liked it. Well, it's not button mashy, but you have to mash on the attack button constantly instead of just auto attacking. It's really no different. It's almost arbitrary. If that's the decision they want to make, though, it's fine. But, you know, I'm just glad that it didn't ruin it.
Yeah, well, I've just kind of likened it to the difference in combat between, like, Final Fantasy X and XII that everyone bitched about. Like, the easier battles are a little mindless. You just, you know, mash your attack button, use some special skills, you get through it.
But when you do get to a harder fight, like a boss or a really big fight, you are just as slow and tactical, if not more so,
right,
than the first game.
And there are more bosses, I feel like, and mm-hmm. those are good encounters.
One thing I like, and this is what I've noticed playing it, because now at the end of every encounter, your health and stamina and mana regenerate to full, I found that having a healer in your party is no longer necessary.
Oh,
it's just nice.
It's kind of necessary, unless you have a shit ton of potions.
I don't have one, and I've been... I just have to
one.
Be careful.
You're going to have one, please.
I don't.
Yeah, you haven't gone to any of the tough encounters yet. You're going to have them.
I had some.
You're going to be in a long dungeon. You're going to run out of potions. What are you going to do? You're going to need a healer. And that's still my thing, is that I'm forced to have this character in my party because he's the healer. And I wouldn't necessarily have him if that wasn't the option.
What are you playing?
What am I playing? I'm a warrior.
Oh, which kind?
Sword and shield, tank.
Okay, I'm a two-handed sword.
Then who's your tank?
Aveline.
You want Aveline in your party throughout that whole game, really?
Maybe, for now.
I don't. No, Aveline, you get the hell away. What the hell did you do to your hair? Why does it look like piss? That is the most unnatural blonde color I've ever seen.
Maybe
they picked the wrong color.
Feralden, it's a common color,
they picked
right?
the wrong blonde
you
color.
You fucking racist.
No, as soon as I saw that too, I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like Dragon Age 1 right there. That ugly-ass color. What the hell is that? No, but like, look, you still... you make me mad, because you don't understand how Western RPGs work. You need a healer, you need a tank.
I don't.
You need two DBS. Yes, you don't. You have no idea what you're doing. Who's your party right now?
Right now, it is me, Aveline, Varric, who's like my favorite character ever, and Meryl.
Okay. So here's one thing that's something. There was a couple of characters I just didn't get because of story reasons. The one, though, he seemed awesome. This character was so cool. But he basically was like, I want to kill myself, and it's a free choice thing. And they basically asked me if I believed in free choice or not.
Oh, like, that guy. Yeah. I was kind of pissed.
And I was like,
oh, fucking join my party, dude.
I know,
you're
so cool, join my party. But then he was like, I'm like, the option one is like, no, I won't let you.
And he does it anyway, or
oh, really?
Go ahead.
Oh, really? Because I didn't say no, I won't let you. I assumed if he said no, he would be a party member.
No, yeah, I told him, I was like, you shouldn't do this. He's like, I appreciate it, but it's not a choice.
So he couldn't, then they missed an opportunity there because
yeah,
that character
was
awesome.
I was thinking, like, oh, this is going to be.
And look, I feel like we're just talking about nonsense. This character, he's a Quinari mage, and like the Quinari mages, it's like you're.
Yeah, you think like the human, like the Chantry cheats the mages bad in Dragon Age? Ooh.
Yeah, they're basically just like chained, and it's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's really
cool. He was really cool.
He was so awesome. I know that mission was great.
I feel like, is there no Quinari team member? Because they factor into what story has been there pretty heavily.
Yeah.
So that surprises me. But, like, the other one was, like, this elf, and he basically didn't like mages, and my sister was a mage, so I'm like, okay, well, you won't be in my party. And he's like, well, fine, then. I'll leave.
I accidentally hit on him.
Ew. Well, that had a heart.
I didn't know what that meant.
See, that's the one problem. My healer is Anders, and, like...
Oh, see, you don't know who Anders is.
Okay, no, I know. So that's my one problem. The one reoccurring character was in the Dragon Age expansion. And I kind of like Anders, but... He hit on me. And I'm sorry, but that makes me a little awkward.
That's the point.
I know, but like, sometimes I feel like Dragon Age, and okay, I feel like I'm getting down a dark road here, maybe one I'll regret. I have no problem with homosexuality, or any of that.
Not, there's anything wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that, but like, BioWare does a very big job of making homosexuality so present in their game, it's almost unlifelike.
Well, they're just giving you choices, Mike.
What are you eating?
I'm not. I'm just playing with my watch.
Oh, you're playing with your watch when I'm doing my big homosexuality chant. I'm putting my career on the line here. But it's like I meet this guy and he's like, but like, look, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like somebody would not just hit on another guy without asking about, or without some sort of clue of what their sexual preference was, right?
You've never done a lot of college theater, have you?
I guess not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds perfectly plausible to me.
Is Anders gay, then? I don't know.
Maybe
or is he bisexual?
I think he's bisexual.
See, that's my other big problem, is that they always pussy out. Everyone's bisexual in these games. You notice that? You notice all the bisexuals walking around? Yeah. I don't really know that many of those. I mean, you know, keep in mind, I live in freaking Ohio.
Yeah, Poland.
Not
a hotbed of... Sexual
experimentation. A free thinking people.
There you go. Yeah, that's
the good way to say it. But this is the thing where it's like, okay, you're the you're the hero in the game. You have to be my party. First thing it says is, I think you're attractive. Ah, piss. Well, this is going to be awkward for the next 40 hours.
Why don't you just make your sister
a healer? What?
Just make your sister a healer.
Moving on. So, that's what I think about Dragon Age 2.
I friggin' love it. It's so good. I knew I would, too.
No,
so.
I like it a lot, too. I do. I know I'm kind of bringing up the things that I don't like about, but I do like a lot of the party members. I like Varric a lot. I like Isabella.
Yeah, Varric, one of my favorite things, and people bitched about this in the Gears first announced, but I like that your character, like, talks and has a personality now.
I know, I do like that.
One of my favorite things that happened is in one fight, Varric did get KO'd, and Hawk just shouts, "You Varric, you bastards got Varric!" It's like, yeah, you bastards, I'm going to get you.
I do. What I like is that it's not just good or bad dialogue options, like evil or good. It's kind of like, just like, it's like hero, like, kind of cocky, funny, and then like stern. Yeah. So it makes sense if you choose different options for different, like, situations. Like, my character, like, he'll do, like, the funny option a lot unless, like, things are, like, really serious.
Yeah.
Or really, like, dramatic. Then he'll do the serious one. Like,
I'm generally do good things, but, like, when the situation can be light, then I'll go for the kind of, like, you know, sarcastic remarks.
Right. And it's cool that, like, when you do enough of those things during certain, like, dialogue, he'll just automatically say the funny thing.
Yeah, you just kind of set the mood for that conversation.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's really cool.
Stuff like
that. And the other thing, too, is, like, the choices I've made so far have been legitimate. Like, they're not, they don't feel binary at all. Like, there's a lot of shades of gray in the game. Like, to the point where I legitimately don't know what the outcome of my choices are going to be. Like, I think I'll be doing something like, oh, like, Aveline's going to totally love that I'm doing this. And I make the choice, and it's like, Aveline minus five. And I was like, oh.
But sometimes that happens, I don't know, I don't understand it, then I get frustrated.
Yeah, I guess that could be
what, the one time I did something with, something Isabella didn't like what I did. I was like, wait, what didn't you like about what I just did just now? Please let me know, Isabella. Because you get perks if... I get perks if you like me. I need that plus 20% combat speed. But that's Dragon Age 2. Very happy with it. Nothing bad. Yes. It's like, shit, it's past midnight. I can't eat my corned beef sandwich.
Sorry.
I might eat it anyways.
Maybe. I believe I've heard it defined as... Well, I don't know. It's been mixed. Either midnight to midnight or when you're up and when you're in bed.
Right.
Believe what you will.
I mean, is there really anything else you need to talk about besides...
The last quick thing, too, is I do like how, since you no longer have the camp where you go to talk to all the characters, you just go to their homes.
Well, the one problem is you can't always go to their home and talk to them, though.
Right.
So, I guess you actually talk to them less, at least it seems so far. But when you do talk to them, it might be more meaningful, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's it. One other thing, the world doesn't seem as big so far.
Well, it's a lot of it just in Kirkwall.
Right, a lot of it's in Kirkwall, and, like, the one area right outside it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to see where people are going to attack this game.
Right.
But I enjoy it.
Yes.
Now, I wonder what its Metacritic is, since we've been talking about that so much. I'm going to find out now.
I just looked at it. It's 80, I think, or 80-something.
Just 80?
Wait. I was just there. It is 80.
Right on 80.
Yep.
Huh, this seems kind of low. Me, maybe. I don't know. What do I know? All right. There's not another game you want to talk about, is there?
Yes, there is.
Okay, what is it?
I got Torchlight for XBLA.
Oh, how's that? Just compare it to the...
It's freaking sweet. Basically, the way they make it work, I've just been playing the Warrior class, because I have the what do they call it? Oh, the Girl of Guns on the PC version, the Alchemist on the Mac version, so I was like, well, third time's a charm. Basically, it's now, instead of clicking, guys, it's an action RPG. You just mash the attack button to swing your sword. You can map hotkeyed abilities to left bump, left trigger, right trigger, Y and B. Mm-hmm. And potion is mapped to left bumper, mana potions bumped to right bumper. It's great. It looks good. It plays well. The one thing you lose, I'm sure someone's going to object to this, is, like, inventory management is no longer, like, the little game of Tetris in your bag that these games usually are. It's just, here's your inventory.
Right.
But it's Torchlight, which is a fantastic game, and it plays super well. It's nice to be able to just kind of kick back on a couch and play it.
Very nice.
And I didn't realize, the Warrior's one talent tree is, like a combat mage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, weird. You're summoning a lot of spirits, and you get some spells. I was like, oh, I'm doing that. That's awesome.
Nice. Still no multiplayer?
No multiplayer. That's going to wait for Torchlight 2.
Right. All right, then. Ready for the releases?
Yeah, I didn't talk about Pokemon ever.
I'm sure you like Pokemon a lot.
I'm playing Pokemon ever. It's very Pokemon-ish.
I'm sure you're quite happy with it.
Yes.
And all the Pokemons in it. All right. Homefront for the PC, PS3, 360. Talked about that. Shogun 2, Total War. Full House Poker for the 360.
This is poker,
I'm sure.
Well, no, this is the game that's using the tech from 1 vs. 100.
Oh, well.
It's also, I believe it's the first game that lets cross-platform play between 360 and Windows Phone 7.
Interesting.
Yeah.
God Eater Burst for the PSP. That's like another kind of Dragon Hunter thing.
I know
about it only because of all the research I had to do when I was reviewing Lord of Arcana.
So real quick, because it lists here, the Halo Reach Defiant map pack.
Yes.
This Microsoft rep came to Best Buy when I was working the other day and like was giving some of us some free shit, and I got a t-shirt, and she wrote down a code for the map pack for me. It's like, oh, sweet. Code doesn't work.
No, that's
not. Unless I just can't read her handwriting, but I was kind of pissed.
Hey, maybe someday we'll both get that map back and play some Halo. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yakuza 4 for PS3. Warriors, Legends of Troy for PS3. Top Spin 4. PS3, Wii, and 360. Who gets tennis games anymore?
Virtua Tennis 2K on the Dreamcast was excellent.
All right. Artanelco Quagga, Nell of Arcel.
What the fuck? No, it's not Quagga, Mike. It's Kaga. Because there's no U after the Q, which except for the word QI, which I don't even know what that means, but it works in Scrabble. You can't do that. The only word in the title of that game is of. Okay?
The only actual word.
Tanelico.
Why is Tanelico capital? Why is Tanelico lowercase T?
Because it's not a real word.
Now, I actually.
Maybe it translates to a preposition. Maybe it's some fucked up language word for with.
Why couldn't it just be Artanelico now of RCL?
Because Kaga is a very important adjective, Mike.
I played Artanelico too, famously. You remember?
Yes.
That was the sexual innuendo game.
I remember trying to sleep in the basement, and I just heard this like 20-minute long cutscene where the two characters just went back and forth saying that they love each other.
Oh, that's not the worst of it. Oh, I saw a screenshot of the game, and all it was the girl saying, "Hooray, I can't wait for you to come inside me." And I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the thing where you, like, go inside their mind and walk around it, but you know what they're doing. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. I actually recommend Artanelico. Artanelico 2, it wasn't bad.
No, I actually liked it.
I gave it an 8.
Yeah, you played it all the way through.
It was pretty solid RPG mechanics. It's just, and, like, honestly, I don't know if, like, the sexual window detracts from the game. It kind of makes it hilarious.
But what it's just, the title's complete nonsense. The Nell of RCL. I could see if it was, like, the Blade of RCL, and I'm like, oh, RCL
is for
a guy or a place. What's a Nell?
Like, you know, Death Nell?
With a K.
Like a Death Nell. So, I don't know what that actually means. Is that, like, a bell ringing?
I guess.
They're usually all music-based. I'm sure it has to do something with music. Because there's always melody and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, maybe this isn't bad. I don't know. Artanelico 2, not bad.
You know what? Game of the year.
That's it. I kind of want to play it now. Talk about it.
Okay, hang on. Because I just clicked on a screenshot. It's some girl talking, and the text below it just says, "I see. Men are really fond of their drills." Wait, there's another one.
Guys, the whole game is like this. Don't think that they're cherry-picking here.
Hey, I want to do some higher level programming, so can you take some clothes off for me?
What the hell? I mean, look, AJ, look, all the girls who know magic have to have crystals inserted inside their magic slots every once in a while. That's where a lot of the sexual innuendo comes in, trust me. I mean, that's just what it is. That's Artanelico for you. All right, next. Trackmania Build to Race for Wii. There's another Sega Genesis Classic Collection. This is the gold edition, I guess. Maybe this one has the
40 Genesis titles.
Maybe this one has ToeJam & Earl's in it.
This is for PC. This is probably just all the games that are on Steam collected.
Hard Corps Uprising. That's like the spiritual successor to that one Contra game.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Plays just like Contra.
Plants vs. Zombies for DSiWare. Jocandia, the Timeless Land for PSP, which is an action RPG apparently, and MotoGP 10-11 for 360 and PS3.
Wait, 10 and 11?
10
/11.
Deliver
all the content from 2010 season offer downloadable updates for 2011 shortly after the season starts. That's crazy.
It sounds almost like they're not actually going to make an 11 and they're just re-releasing 10.
Yeah. With like, was there 10? Maybe 10 didn't come out. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, well, that's
so,
it.
So Trackmania for Wii. That could be fun.
Sure.
Trackmania.
So before we leave, we have a Facebook page now.
Yeah, it doesn't have an address yet. I can't make an actual URL for it until we have 25 fans. We have 21. Who's going to be our 25th fan?
Well, we just started this today, so it's not like we're total losers.
No, yesterday. But for now, just go on Facebook and look for the Explain Braille podcast. That should totally come up.
Right, and I'm going to post the question for next week on there.
Yeah, for Let's Go Topical 2.
And it is, as I talked earlier, the U.S. 3DS launch lineup is weak. If you had to pick one game to buy from it, what would it be? I guess you'd have to say if you agree or not with the statement. I'm going to put it more in the question. Do you think the launch lineup is weak?
Yeah.
If you had to pick one game, what would be? There you go.
And maybe, there you go. That's good.
That's how you do it. All right, you can also find us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and our Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. We're on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Yes.